Jacob was preparing to meet Esau after 21 years of being separated from him, and he was afraid. The reason why Jacob was afraid was because the last time the two brothers had spoken together, Jacob had deceived Esau and stolen his birthright. At that last encounter, Jacob fled for his life because Esau had vowed to kill him. Therefore, in Genesis 33, the two brothers come face to face with each other for the first time in over 20 years. That's the scene that we have here in this portion of God's Word. Now, when you read this chapter, you will notice that before this meeting took place, in order to appease Esau, Jacob sent gifts to his brother, hoping that these gifts would soften Esau's heart and calm his anger. Because Jacob was convinced that Esau would want revenge because of what had happened 21 years previous. But when we read Genesis 33, the opposite is the case. When Jacob and Esau eventually met, the two brothers embraced each other, they kissed each other, and they wept. It was a very happy reunion. And we can see that very clearly when we read the beginning of this chapter, Genesis 33. When they met, Esau, making reference to the gifts that Jacob had sent him, said in our text in verse 9, look at it, "My brother, keep that thou hast done to thyself. I have enough." And at that point, Jacob said to Esau, again in our text in verse 11, "Take, I pray thee, my blessing that is brought to thee, because I have enough." Esau said to Jacob, "I have enough." Jacob said to Esau, "I have enough." Very simply today, as we look at these words in verse 9 and verse 11, I want to consider them with you in the gospel. In these two statements here, there's a very clear message to every unsaved person in this gathering this afternoon. Now, these two statements of Esau and Jacob, in English, they sound the same. "I have enough." That's what Esau said to Jacob. "I have enough." That's what Jacob said to Esau. It seems as if both Esau and Jacob are saying the same thing, doesn't it? But they're not. These two statements mean two completely different things. Because in the Hebrew language, the word for enough in verse 9 is a different Hebrew word, not of verse 11. Now, let me show you the difference. Now, let me say that you don't need to be a Hebrew scholar in order to see the difference and to find out the difference. Because I'm not a Hebrew scholar. All I did was I looked up my Young's Concordance. And if you look up a Young's Concordance, it will tell you the meaning of the Hebrew words. In verse 9, the Hebrew word for enough is rab, R-A-B, and it means much or abundant. Therefore, when Esau said, "I have enough," what he was literally saying was, "I have much," or "I have abundant." In other words, Esau was saying, "I have enough for today, I have enough for tomorrow, and I have enough for the foreseeable future. I have sufficient for now." That's what the word means. And it's very important before we continue this message that you understand that. What Esau is saying to Jacob is, "I have sufficient for now. I have much." But in verse 11, The word enough is the Hebrew word kol, K-O-L, and it means all. Therefore, when Jacob said in verse 11, I have enough, he was literally saying, I have all. Or, I have everything. In other words, Jacob was saying, I have enough for today, I have enough for tomorrow, I have enough forever. I have enough not only for time, but for eternity. I have all that I will ever need. Now, can you see the difference in the two statements now? When you're reading it in the English here, they sound the same. But when you study the two words a little bit deeper, you can see here very clearly from the Hebrew that they mean completely different things. Esau had much, but Jacob had all. Esau had abundant, but Jacob had everything. What Esau had someday would come to an end, but what Jacob had would never come to an end. Esau had enough for time, but Jacob had enough for eternity. Men and women, this is a perfect picture of the difference between what the man of the world has compared to what the child of God has. The man of the world has much. Much of this world's goods, much as far as material things are concerned. But the child of God has all. The child of God has everything. Now, which of these two statements represent you in God's house today? Have you much? Or have you all? Have you sufficient for now? Or have you enough for eternity? In light of what we have said, I want you to consider three things. And I want you, if you're not saved in this meeting, to listen very carefully, because I believe that there's a message here for you. It's a very simple message, but it's a very clear message. And I pray that as we seek to deliver this message, God giving us the help, that the Lord will speak to your heart and speak to your soul. And if there's someone here in Bethany Free Presbyterian Church today who's not saved, I pray that the Lord will so speak to your heart that before you leave this meeting this afternoon, that you'll just not leave Bethany with much, but that you'll leave Bethany with all. Now, the first thing I want to say is this. A man can have enough for time, but not enough for eternity. Sinner, you might say today, I have enough, just like Esau said, he had enough. And you might have enough as far as this world's goods are concerned. You may have enough wealth. You may have enough money. You may have enough worldly possessions. You may have enough for today. You may have enough for tomorrow. And you may have enough for the rest of your time upon this earth. But the question that I want you to answer honestly within your soul is this. What about eternity? Have you enough to keep you out of hell? Have you enough to get you into heaven? Have you enough to save your soul when your life is over and when you stand on the brink of eternity? You see, a man can have enough for life upon earth, but not have enough for the great eternity. The Lord Jesus Christ said on one occasion, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" Men and women, being rich in this life does not mean being rich in the life to come. Esau said, I have much. In other words, I have enough for now. But Jacob said, I have all. In other words, I have everything. I have enough not only for now, but for all eternity. And it's so important that before you leave this scene of time, that you make sure that you have sufficient in order to bring you from earth to heaven. Have you enough? as far as eternity is concerned. You know, the Bible tells us very clearly that each and every one of us have a soul. The Bible says that when God created Adam, after he had created Adam's body from the dust of the ground, he breathed into his nostrils and man became a living soul. Therefore, not only do you have a body, but you have a soul. That body of yours someday will die and go down into the grave and corrupt and be no more. But that soul that you have, that's within your breast, is eternal. It is immortal. It will live forever. And your soul needs to be saved because of sin and because of ungodliness and because of the nature that you and I have been born with. Our souls need to be born again of the Spirit of God. You see, the truth is, and the Lord Jesus Christ brings this out in that text that I read just a moment ago, your soul can be lost. Now, I know that we're living in this 21st century and man thinks of everything except his soul. He thinks of where he's going to get his next bite to eat. He thinks of how he's going to provide for his children. And all these things are good and rightful in their place. And there's nothing wrong with looking into the future as far as time is concerned and making preparation for time. There's nothing wrong with that. But if you do that and neglect your soul's salvation, then the Bible says that you're a fool. I wonder if there's someone here today, and as far as this world's wealth is concerned, the Lord has blessed you. I don't think there's anyone here this afternoon who's living in poverty row. The Lord certainly has been good to each and every one of us, and He has provided our every need according to His riches and glory. And even those who are not saved, the Lord has blessed you with material things. But maybe you're saying, like Esau, I have enough. I have much. But my friend, what about your soul? What about your soul? What about that part of you that will live forever and forever and forever and forever? Is your soul saved? Is your soul covered in the blood of the Lamb? If you were to die right now and go out into God's eternity, where would your soul be? And you know, that's the question, that if you're not saved in this meeting, you need to be asking yourself that question. You need to be considering your latter end. Because the Bible says it's appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Just yesterday, two young men lost their lives. And one of them not too far from here. You don't have to be old to die. Death can come at any time and take any of us. And maybe you're building for the future as far as this earth is concerned. And you're looking into the future and you've made your plans. Perhaps in recent days you've been married and you're looking into the future and you're planning ahead. And yet in all those plans, God is not there. Oh, my friend, don't be a fool. Don't leave God out of your life. Because while you may think you can live without Him upon this scene of time, there's one sure fact. You can't do without God in the great eternity. Because to be without Christ and without God and without hope means that when you die and your soul goes out into eternity, it means that you're lost forever and forever and forever and forever. A man can have enough for time, but not enough for eternity. Secondly, I want to say this. Having enough for eternity means having Christ. To have all, to have everything, is to have Christ. In Colossians 3, verse 11, the apostle says this, Christ is all. It's not a wonderful text of Scripture. In other words, Christ is everything. Everything that the sinner needs is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only does the Savior meet the needs of life upon this earth, but He also meets the needs for eternity. Sinner, you may have enough for life upon this earth, but only the Son of God and knowing Him as Savior will enable you to have enough for life after death. In Colossians 2 verse 10, Paul said of the saints at Colossae, "Ye are complete in Christ." And you know, that's the wonderful truth about God's salvation. Once the sinner turns from their sin, repents and believes the gospel and trusts Christ as their Savior, the Lord Jesus saves them, not only for time, but for all eternity. Friend, I'm on my way to heaven today. I'll never be in hell. My sins, which were many, are forgiven. Thank God all the spiritual blessings I have in Christ. In other words, because they were saved, because the Colossians were saved, and because they were in Christ, they had everything that they needed for time and for eternity. Do you have Christ today? Jacob said, "I have all. I have everything. I have enough, not only for time, but for eternity." Why could Jacob say that? Why did he make a different statement than Esau? Because Jacob had Christ. Jacob knew the Lord. You say to me, "But sure, the Lord wasn't born and wasn't crucified until thousands of years after Jacob had died." Well, my friend, if you say that, you don't know very much about the Bible. There's only one way of salvation, and that's by faith, looking to Christ for eternal redemption. The only difference in the Old Testament saints and the New Testament saints is this. The Old Testament saints looked forward by faith to Christ, coming and dying upon the cross for them. We today, in this New Testament age, we look back by faith. And we believe what Jesus had done already on the cross for us. But whether in the Old Testament or the New Testament, there's only one way of salvation. There's only one way of redemption. And may I tell you today that Jacob could say, "I have all," because Jacob knew Christ in a personal way. Did we not read it? Did Jacob ever meet the Lord? Of course he did. Take a look at chapter 32 of Genesis and look at verse 24. "And Jacob was left alone. And there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day." Who was that man that was wrestling with Jacob? Look at verse 25. "And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him." Who was this man? Well, take a look there at verse 30. "And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel." Listen to it. "For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved." My friend, you can't see God and live. So how did Jacob see God and live? He saw Jacob through the Son of God. Jacob saw God through the Son of God. This is a Christophany, an Old Testament appearance of the Son of God. Oh, there's no doubt that Jacob knew the Lord. My friend, do you know the Lord today? Is Christ your Savior? You know, the best day in my life was the day the Lord saved me. On that day, I received all that I needed, not only for time, but for eternity. A hymn writer penned it well when he wrote those words, "Now none but Christ can satisfy, none other name for me. There's love and life and lasting joy, Lord Jesus found in thee." And thank God, if you were to come today and put your faith and trust in Christ and turn away from your sin, then the Lord today would save your soul. And you would leave this place this afternoon knowing that you were on your way to heaven, knowing that your sins were forgiven, and knowing that you had all, knowing that you had all that you needed to bring you home to heaven. It's great to be saved, isn't it, child of God? No matter what happens to us in this old life. And you know, the Lord doesn't promise us a bed of roses to heaven. And if you think that you're going to get out throughout life without a few problems, then you're very foolish. But thank God when the problems come and when the difficulties come, Christ is there. And He's there to bear us up, and He's there to give us strength in our time of need, and He's there to help us. And He does, doesn't He? And when our backs are against the wall, and when the situation is tight, and when we don't know where to turn, we turn to the Lord, and the Lord helps us. The Lord makes a way through the wilderness. And maybe there's a child of God here today, and you're in the wilderness. You know, child of God, thank God for the wilderness. Because it's in the wilderness where you prove the Lord, even in a greater way, and from the mountaintop. The sinner of the Lord can be with you, and He wants to be with you today. He wants to take your burden. He wants to lift the heartache. Maybe there's someone here today and no one else knows what you're going through. And you just don't know how you're going to get through it, and you're not saved. Well, I would point you to the Savior. He's the all-sufficient one. He's the one that can meet you at the very point of your need. He's the one that can lift the burden. He's the one that can carry you through the trial that you're passing through. For He's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Do you know Him? Is He your Savior? Is He your Redeemer? My friend, listen. Have you got much? Or have you got all? You can have much of this world's good, but not have enough for eternity. Only having Christ means that you have all. Only having Christ. Do you have Christ today? Do you know Him as your Savior? Now, there's something else I want you to notice. A man may think he has enough for eternity when he is not. In Proverbs 16, verse 25, it says, "There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." The man spoken of in Proverbs 16 is a man who thinks he has enough for eternity. He thinks and believes that because of his way, that he has sufficient for life after death. In other words, he believes that his way will bring him to heaven, that his way will deliver him from hell. What the man in Proverbs 16, verse 25 is saying to God is, "My way is enough. My way is sufficient." But he's wrong, because at the end, it will be death and destruction forever. Do you ever stop for a moment and consider why Esau said, "I have much," and why he didn't say, "I have all"? Because he didn't know the Lord. Esau didn't know Christ. He had never met Him. Esau wasn't a child of God. That's why he could only say, "I have much." That's why he could only refer to the material things of life. You know, there's another example of a man who thought that he had sufficient. And his name is Cain. Just turn over for a moment to Genesis chapter 4. And take a look what it says in verse 3 about Cain. "And in process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord." Verse 5, "But unto Cain and to his offering the Lord had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell." When Cain offered his offering to God, do you know what he was saying? He was saying, "Lord, I have enough. I have enough. But he hadn't. And maybe there's someone here today and you think that because of religion or because of good works or because you come to church once a week that you have enough, you have sufficient in order to get you into heaven. My friend, you haven't enough. Because there's only one way whereby the sinner can approach God and get into heaven, and of course that's by the blood of the Lamb. And that's why Abel's offering was accepted, because he brought the blood of the Lamb. The blood was shed. And of course that speaks of the cross and it speaks of Calvary. And there's only one way of salvation, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ, by trusting in Him alone. We've already emphasized that. But how sad it is today that there are many who believe that they're going to get into heaven just because they have got a little bit of religion in their lives. But they'll not make it. I can remember when I first went to Fermanagh 10 years ago, I was asked to go and visit a lady. She wasn't a member of our church, but she received me well. And we chatted, talked for a time, and then I opened up the Bible to read the scriptures to her. And I asked her, was she saved? Was she trusting in Christ alone as her own and personal Redeemer? And my friend, I'll never forget what that woman said to me. She said, "Mr. Gray, I have been confirmed. And I have been baptized. And I have been brought up in the church. Mr. Gray, I have enough." But she hadn't enough. And I can remember going back to visit her several times. And the last time I visited her, she was very seriously ill. And she was lying in bed. And I brought the subject around again about God's salvation and about the only way to heaven was through Christ, having the blood applied upon your life and soul. And she says, "But Mr. Gray, I told you before, I have enough. I have the church. I have been baptized. I have been confirmed." And a few weeks later, she died and went out into God's eternity. What are you depending upon today to get you into heaven? What are you trusting in today to save your soul? Is it enough? If it's not Christ, it's not enough. If it's not the cross, it's not enough. If it's not the blood of the Lamb, my friend, it's not enough. It's not enough. Jacob had much. Esau had much, but Jacob had all. Jacob had everything. What have you got today? In the light of eternity, what are you trusting in? As far as your soul's salvation is concerned, what are you depending upon? Oh, my friend, if you're not trusting in Christ, then you have nothing. But if you have Christ, then you have everything. Esau said, "I have much." But Jacob said, "I have all." Let us all pray.